We're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused.
From just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, AM and FM stations all across the country, and live and archived on the World Wide Web. This is the third and final hour of Govern America. Darren Weeks and Nancy Levant here, as we are every Saturday. And we're going to be bringing up Robert Mazur, this hour here in just a few minutes. And we're going to get into his infiltration of the drug cartels and how the dirty banks launder money on their behalf. But I want to finish up real quickly here with this information on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, because I think this is important. I'm going to skip the audio from Zach Carter because we're just running out of time. And Elizabeth Warren, who is a Massachusetts Democrat in Congress, she came out against this Trans-Pacific Partnership because, as I said before the break, it's being implemented, it's being negotiated behind the scenes, secretly, as if it's a classified document. Nobody is allowed to know what's in it. Now, we know from last year that the information, due to leaked documents, the information came out that the TPP would let corporations overrule U.S. laws. And that's just some of what came out last year due to leaked documents. How much more do we not know about this, ladies and gentlemen? Now, this is what Elizabeth Warren had to say.
Trade agreements affect access to foreign markets and our level of imports and exports. They also affect a wide variety of public policy issues, everything from wages, jobs, the environment, the internet, to monetary policy, pharmaceuticals, and financial services. Many people are deeply interested in tracking the trajectory of trade negotiations, but if they don't have reasonable access to see the terms of the agreements under negotiation, then they can't have any real input. Without transparency, the benefits of an open marketplace of ideas are reduced enormously. I am deeply concerned about the transparency record of the U.S. Trade Representative and with one ongoing trade agreement in particular, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. For months, the Trade Representative who negotiates on our behalf has been unwilling to provide any public access to the composite bracketed text relating to the negotiations. Now, the composite bracketed text includes proposed language from the United States and also from other countries, and it serves as the focal point for negotiations. The Trade Representative has allowed members of Congress to access the text, and I appreciate that, but there's no substitute for public transparency. If transparency would lead to widespread public opposition to a trade agreement, then that trade agreement should not be the policy of the United States. I believe in transparency and democracy, and I think that the U.S. Trade Representative should too. So I ask the President's nominee to be the Trade Representative, Michael Froman, three questions. The first, would he commit to releasing the composite bracketed text? The second, if not, would he commit to releasing a scrubbed version of the bracketed text that made anonymous which country proposed which provision? And I want to note here, even the Bush administration put out a scrubbed version during the negotiations around the Free Trade Area of the Americas Agreement. And third, I ask Mr. Froman if he would provide more transparency behind what information is made available to outside advisors. Currently, there are about 600 outside advisors that have access to sensitive information.
Okay, I got to cut it off there, folks, because we're just out of time for this. But the bottom line is, the answer to all three questions were no. No, no, no. And the question that every one of you folks need to be asking yourself is, if this thing is so great for America, why are they doing it in secret? We'll be back.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit. The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand-name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Darren Weeks and Nancy Levant here. Going to be visiting with this hour Robert Mazur. He's a former Drug Enforcement Agency officer. And I think the information that we were just sharing about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and this North American Union, these free trade agreements, really is kind of, in a way, it's germane to what we're going to be discussing here, because what we're seeing here, really, ladies and gentlemen, is the empowerment of corporations and against the empowerment of the individuals. It looks like we're becoming a banana republic in this country. It looks like that we're losing our rights, we're losing our ability to have any kind of representation whatsoever. And when big banks have such power that they can influence politicians and there's no repercussions for what they do anymore, well, that's a very dangerous place to be in America. And certainly our guest, Robert Mazur, understands that, I think. And we're going to get his take on some of the stuff that's been happening lately, as well as what he has went through in the past. Robert Mazur spent 5 years undercover infiltrating the criminal hierarchy of Colombia's drug cartels, the dirty bankers and businessmen he befriended, some of whom still shape power across the globe. Well, they knew him as Bob Mazzella, a wealthy mob-connected big shot living the good life. Together, they partied in $1,000 per night hotel suites, drank bottles of the world's finest champagne, drove Rolls-Royce convertibles, and flew in private jets, but under Mazur's Armani suits. And in his Renwick briefcase, recorders were running, capturing the damning evidence of their crimes. Then at a staged wedding, he led the dramatic takedown that shook the underworld. In the end, more than 80 men and women were charged worldwide. Operation Sea Chase became one of the most successful undercover operations in the history of U.S. law enforcement, and evidence gathered during the bust proved critical to the conviction of General Manuel Noriega. The Infiltrator, that's his book, it's the story of how he helped bring down the unscrupulous bankers who manipulated complex international finance systems to serve drug lords, including Pablo Escobar, their corrupt politicians, tax cheats, and terrorists. It is, at its broadest, a shocking chronicle of the rise and fall of perhaps the biggest and most intricate money laundering operation of all time, an enterprise that cleaned and moved hundreds of millions of dollars a year. At its heart, it's a stunning and vivid portrait of an undercover life and the sacrifices it required. I got to tell you, folks, it is a real page-turner. It's difficult to put down. Robert Mazur, thank you so much for being with us on Govern America today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, why don't you start at the beginning? How did you get into this field? I mean, this is just remarkable, a remarkable story, certainly something that had to have a tremendous toll upon you and your family. Why did you want to do this? I mean, this is a life that, I don't know, you know, I mean, I think most of us would not want to venture down this path that you've taken. Is this something that you had always wanted to do?
No, it was a journey that took me more than something that I perceived that I'd be doing from the inception of when I joined law enforcement. I got into law enforcement really by accident. It was another valley in the peaks and valleys of the economy, and money was scarce, and I needed to get some money for books and tuition while I was in college, so I looked for a summer and part-time job during semesters and went to the jobs board, and here was this announcement for a co-op position with an agency called the Intelligence Division of the IRS. I thought that was rather oxymoron kind of situation there, but anyway, I said, well, you know, it's a job. And so I went and I did an interview, and I learned remarkably that well, this is the agency that was actually responsible for the prosecution of Al Capone, that they really worked. It's a very small unit within the IRS that are criminal investigators that work on drug trafficking, money laundering, corrupt politicians, organized crime. From the financial side, they handle the most complex white-collar paper trails and work with other agencies to pull the evidence together on that side of a case. So with respect to Al Capone, it was the income tax evasion prosecution for his failure to report income from his illegal activities. Mm-hmm. And I came to realize also that there were other cases that were going on at the time, one that's become talked about in a movie called American Gangster, when Frank Lucas, who was the biggest heroin trafficker in probably the country at the time, was bringing in heroin within body bags of soldiers from Vietnam, and massive amounts of distribution of heroin was occurring, not just in New York City, but the surrounding areas. And that agency did the surveillance that led to the identification of the chemical bank in New York, to which Frank Lucas's associates were carrying in literally duffel bags full of currency, and the money was being laundered through the chemical bank. So as I got involved with that agency as a co-op, and then was offered a position to work with them as an agent after graduating, I began to see how important the money trail was to these massive criminal organizations, because that's really what it's all about for them, is money and corruption. And so I worked for a number of years and transferred to another agency called the U.S. Customs Office of Enforcement. Now it's known as Department of Homeland Security, Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement, and worked on money laundering cases, ultimately on to the Drug Enforcement Administration. But throughout the 27 years that I worked on international money laundering cases for the most part, and focused mostly on trying to identify and prosecute the people at the command and control level of the Colombian drug cartels. You know, why did I gravitate toward the long-term undercover? Well, we've been working for 14 years in the traditional sense, informants, search warrants, wiretaps, historical evidence from witnesses, and we just couldn't really get the real hardcore evidence about the people at the top. We were pretty successful at the people in the middle, and maybe a little higher, but not really at the top. And what we decided to do was to attempt to infiltrate their money laundering systems. And the only way that it could be done credibly, in my view, was for us to have a long-term undercover operation, thereby having a sworn officer instead of an informant, a sworn officer who could record conversations and attest to the authenticity of the evidence. We needed to get into the money laundering flow so we could figure out not only who was laundering it, but also who were the owners of this money. So yeah. I volunteered to do long-term undercover. I went through an undercover school, two of them actually, and then was given a period of 18 months to put together what I think is one of the more sophisticated fronts for an undercover operation. I emerged from that year and a half of what we put together with a completely new identity. I was embedded in real businesses, an investment company, a mortgage brokerage business. We had an air charter service with a private jet, a jewelry chain with 70 locations on the East Coast, and even a brokerage firm with a seat on the New York Stock Exchange.
And That's quite a background.
Well, I had some very, very well-placed informants, and two of them were actually people within one of the five Italian-American organized crime families in New York, and they gave street credibility to me. Unfortunately, when you want to swim in the dark waters of the underworld, unless you have assistance from some people who have previously been there and now are willing to offer their assistance to the government to help you in these kinds of cases, you can't even get to first base. I worked my way up and then began to deal with mid and then upper level cartel people, as well as becoming a conduit for what was the seventh largest privately held bank in the world, the Bank of Credit and Commerce International. They had a presence in 72 countries, 19,000 employees, but I dealt with the board that was very, very actively involved in soliciting deposits from the underworld.
And yeah, you really kind of stumbled upon that by accident, didn't you?
Totally. You know, and I think that really speaks to the issue of the fact that there is a broad involvement by international banks in the laundering of illicit funds for various organizations. BCCI was not an anomaly. BCCI was one of many banks that have been involved in the laundering of drug proceeds. At the time, we thought we'd caught, by accident, a big fish that was doing something totally different than the rest of the banking world. How naive that was is amazing, and we can talk about the proof that suggests that. But I happened to be driving down the street one day, and I knew that I was getting pressure from Colombian money brokers to open up accounts in Panama, and I noticed this big flashy gold sign that said Bank of Credit and Commerce International, and just to myself said, well, you know, I guess they probably open up foreign accounts. So I called them and set up a meeting.
Let's hold it right there. That's a good cliffhanger. Let's take a break here. You're listening to Govern America. Our guest is Robert Mazur this hour, and his book is The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind the Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. And the link is up on the website. You can get the book. I highly recommend it, by the way. Stay with us. We're going to continue with Robert here after the break. Don't go away.
love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back to Govern America. I'm visiting with Robert Mazur, his book, The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind the Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. And his website is www.the-infiltrator.com. And Robert, just before the break, you were just getting ready to tell us a little bit about your first interaction with the BCCI.
Yes. Well, you know, some people in the government might think that the way to open up undercover accounts is to make contact with a bank and let them know it's an undercover operation and ask them to open up the account and not disclose that fact. And it's probably 99% of the way that that's done. I thought that that was not the wise thing to do. I had the identity to be totally verified. I had business contacts, banking contacts, everything I'd need. So I just decided to contact them in my undercover capacity. And I called and I said that I'd like very much to meet with someone about the possibility of opening up some accounts. And they did the same thing with me that they do for with regard to all people who might otherwise want to join this private club within the private client divisions of an international bank. They said, well, you know, we might be willing to do that, but you need to first send to us your resume. We need some banking references, your business references, copies of your accounts. You need to have $1 million in liquid assets in order for us to be able to do business with you. And send us that, and we'll get back to you, which I did. And they then came back to me and said, yes, we'd be happy to meet with you. I met with this account manager, And right from the beginning, I said to the account manager exactly what my undercover role was, not using a lot of the street talk, but just simply saying, you know, I assist, I'm a financial advisor, I assist clients based in Colombia who have accounts or have businesses in the United States that generate huge amounts of capital. And it's my responsibility to try to help them to very quietly get that money transferred back to them or used here in the States to acquire assets. But we need to do this in a way where it doesn't become obvious to governments. That was all I had to say. At which point in time he said, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about. We've helped a lot of people like you in the past. What you're doing is called the black market. The movement of that money needs to be done very carefully. You need only the stupid people get caught. And what you need to do is you need to get yourself involved in a lot of cash generating businesses, so you can cover the deposits of currency. Otherwise, the government's going to be able to figure out what you're doing. When we transfer funds on behalf of clients like you, we previously were doing that using accounts in Grand Cayman, but now because of a treaty between the United States and Grand Cayman, well, the treaty that had just been passed was for the disclosure of records relative to accounts that held narcotics proceeds. And he said, you know, due to the treaties that have been passed, we don't recommend opening accounts there for you. We'd open them in Panama, in our Panama branches for you. And we were off and running.
So basically he's telling you how to launder money best.
Yep.
You know, you had mentioned in your book the importance of looking the part when you're dealing with drug cartels, and it's important to note you're already dealing with some of the really, really top people, some very high-ranking people in the mob, weren't you?
Well, I was dealing with people within the Colombian mafia. The U.S. mafia, the people who were involved were informants of the government at that time and who were, not necessarily the type of people. Well, one of them was, the other one was not. They're not the kind of people you perceive to be, when you look at them, to be involved in the mob. One of the guys actually worked in a brokerage firm, and his family owned and operated that brokerage firm. The other guy was, when you saw him, clearly a guy who was probably somebody's bodyguard. The reason that I thought it was so important to have them involved in the operation and appearing to the Colombian cartel people to be cousins of mine and involved with me was because, number one, when you're receiving millions and millions of dollars, they need to know that you're not an easy pushover. It wouldn't be the first time, if they had a weak businessman who decided to get greedy and take $1 million, that they would set up a situation where they would wind up stealing that money before they could actually carry out the money laundering, and now that person is on the hook for $1 million. So I needed to make it clear also that I didn't really need them. Actually, for the first 6 months, my partner, the most gifted undercover agent that I have ever worked with, Amir Abreu, he played the role of a street Latin American guy who was involved in crime. And he was kind of my manager on the streets in the minds of them. And I had him for 6 months simply tell the Colombian money brokers he was dealing with, listen, my boss doesn't ever want to meet anybody, doesn't want anybody to know who he is. If you could ever get him to meet with you, it could be a huge break for you guys. But he just wants to open up small accounts for me to help me to be able to do this. Who knows, maybe that'll change, but I doubt it.
So you're kind of playing hard to get at this point.
Oh, yeah, you've got to. You know, if you're too eager and you're, you know, why are you going to be so eager and, you know, running after them? If you ever wanted to date the captain of the cheerleaders in high school, you never let her know it. You just kind of let it become her idea. So
we're at the break again. I'm sorry that there's so many commercials, but we got to pay the bills. We're visiting with Robert Mazur, folks. He's an undercover agent, former DEA official, and he's talking about how he infiltrated drug cartels and exposed the banks that are behind them, helping to involve or launder the money. And the website, once again, is the-infiltrator.com. And we'll be back here in a moment on Government America.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The free and independent states of America were born July 4, 1776. The 56 delegates signed the Declaration of Independence. Congress ordered it engrossed, sent to the several assemblies, conventions, committees, councils of safety, and several commanding officers of the Continental Army. After the war, several nations traded with the free United States of America. Any agency, officer, or employee acting as if the declaration were void or obsolete is without the right and the consent. They place themselves as an equal to the Creator and are warring with Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution and with the people. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury, customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff, and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Back to Govern America, visiting with Robert Mazur. Once again, the website is www.theinfiltrator.com. That's the-infiltrator.com. His book, The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind the Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel, and it's linked up with governamerica.com. And Robert, just before the break, you were just getting ready to, you were talking a little bit about how you kind of gained the trust, you had to earn the trust of the cartel members, and part of that strategy is playing hard to get.
That's right. And after 6 months of hearing about me through my partner, they were banging on the door. They wanted to meet me. They wanted me to open accounts for them. When I finally did get the opportunity to walk on stage in undercover capacity, they were absolutely ready to go. The position that I took, and again, to play hard to get and to also get them to do things the way I wanted them to do, was to tell them that I had been informed about this opportunity in Latin America to move money by my partner. I got the permission from the people with whom I work in my family, meaning a crime family, who authorized me to explore the markets, but they are also very concerned because I handle that type of work for them. So they don't want me to do anything that's going to put us at risk. So as long as they're willing to do things the way that we traditionally do them, we'd be happy to work with them. If not, they'd have to take their business elsewhere. And part of what it is that I pitched to them was that, okay, once we begin a relationship, I need to have the opportunity of investing some of this money. I can't just move it and it goes into a black hole, because that's very easy for law enforcement, and I wouldn't have said it that way.
Sure.
I would have said the feds. You know, it's easy for the feds to figure out exactly who's moving this kind of money when you have huge amounts of money coming in an account and huge amounts going out. Pass-throughs are dead giveaways. I have to come across as what I, my cover for doing this as an investment advisor. So the money brokers with whom I dealt, who dealt with the owners of the money, were not able to convince the owners of that. So I, when they came back and said, well, you know, they're just not going to let you invest. And I said, well, you know what? It's difficult for you to sell my services when this is new to you. I'll continue to do business without the investments only if you'll give me the opportunity to meet with them face to face and explain to them why this is in their and our best interests. Really, the whole technique was used to be able to get the people who owned the money on tape, on camera, so that we could identify them and then work ourselves closer to them and use them as stepping stones to work ourselves up. And the plan worked. The plan absolutely worked.
You know, you talked about some close calls in your book. In fact, there were a number of times that the operation almost was blown. Your partner, Emer, was somewhat of a prankster, you said. And there's a few times there's... Yes, one thing that stands out in my mind was how you were locked in a closet at one point, and you actually had a cartel member trying to get in the closet. He didn't know you were in there.
Yeah,
you were hiding out.
Yeah, that's actually well before I started to take on the undercover role. I was what we would call the case agent at that stage. I was handling, pretty much acting like a director would in a movie, and bringing all the pieces together. And Amir, this was during that 6 months when Amir was pretty much the only major undercover that was working with them. And on that evening, I had gotten an unexpected call from Amir. He's not a techie guy, and not that I'm a techie guy, but I certainly knew how to run the equipment that was used within the apartment, concealed, to record conversations. And he called me and said, hey, listen, they're coming into town unexpectedly. Can you come by and turn the equipment on? And I said, well, yeah, sure. How long are you going to have them there, and what's going to happen after that? And he said, well, it's only going to be a 30-minute meeting. I'm going to get a small amount of money from them, and then I'm going to take the guy to a local hotel, and, you know, he'll get a room, and that'll be it. So I said, well, fine, I'll just stay in the closet throughout this thing, run the equipment, and when you get back, I'll take the tape, you know, give you the tape, and that'll be it. So he said, okay, if that's the way you want to do it. And he took him in. I recorded the 30 minutes or so, just right on cue. He left. And then I waited for his return, and just something in the back of my mind said, you know, what if that guy came back with him? So I positioned myself inside this closet, with kind of in the threshold of the closet, and I could see the monitor to see who was coming in the door. And I noticed, I knew what they'd been wearing, and I noticed that the clothing on the one guy, that was the bad guy. So I jumped back in, I locked the door. I thought, well, maybe they're going to have another meeting. I started recording it, and they were there for maybe 15 minutes, and then my partner went to the bathroom, which was close by, and just kind of in a singing voice said, the old man is staying. And I didn't know what to do at that stage, but he left. My partner left. And now I'm locked in this closet. And the informant was in another room, a Colombian informant in another room sleeping. And he knew I was in there, but he spoke very little English. And the bad guy was going to sleep in the living room. So I waited and waited, and it was probably 1 o'clock or later in the morning, maybe 2. And he fell asleep. Before that, he thought there was the bathroom, and he was kind of had big girth, and he was kind of leaning into the door, and I could actually see the door bolt.
Well, you were in the deadbolted closet. The closet was deadbolted from the inside, right?
Yep, yeah, it was. But, you know, when you've got a guy who's probably 280 pounds or 275 pounds leaning on it, you don't know what's going to happen. But luckily, he stopped, and he found the bathroom, and he went back, and I could hear him snoring. So so I eventually...
Well, your heart must have just been pounding at that point.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely, it was. I didn't know what I was going to do if he got into the closet. So I low-crawled down the hall, and then I snuck into the bedroom where the informant was, thinking, well, he knows who I am. Now, it's pitch black in the bedroom, and he's got all kinds of death threats against him because he's worked for... on cases before, and he kind of startled and looked up with dazed eyes, thinking that, not realizing it was me, he jumped up on the bed.
This is the Colombian enforcement.
Yeah, there was a Colombian informant. So yeah. He's jumping up and down on the bed, yelling, and I tackled him and pulled him down, and I looked at him. I said, well, if the old man comes in, tell him that you had a bad dream. And he looked at me kind of like a puppy looks at their when they don't understand something, and I realized his English was so poor that he really didn't understand what I had said. So I kind of tried to get underneath the bed a little bit. Nobody came in. I eventually climbed out the window and got to my car and then went to my partner's house and was pretty upset with him for having left me there. But that's kind of the type of thing that Amir is quite capable of. I think he wanted to teach me a lesson that maybe the next time I didn't need to stay there.
Well, I'll tell you what, your wife must be incredibly patient because you got into so many situations, that being one of them, that, you know, she wouldn't necessarily know where you were, or at least you didn't leave for that particular amount of time. And it must have taken an incredible toll on your family life, all of this.
It did. She is nothing less than a saint. If it wasn't for her, we wouldn't have a family today. There are many, many long-term undercover agents who, like me, and I think I probably was affected by the long-term assignment less than most, but I truly came to a point where I think I need to back up a little bit and just say, well, you'd asked me before, why did I get into this? You know, I got into this, and that's part of the answer to that about my wife, but I got into this because I wanted so desperately, as most law enforcement officers want to, I wanted to be a part of truly making a difference. And my interpretation of making a difference was not accepting promotions and getting up high and having a big title and being a leader of many different people. My perception of making a difference was getting as close to crime as I possibly could, getting as close to the most important evidence that I could ever get, and be able to use that to prosecute people of great significance within the underworld. And this undercover approach was the opportunity for me to be able to do that. I was driven to be a law enforcement officer no matter which of the three agencies I was in. It was the same thing every time. My goal was to be able to, at the end of the day, look my family in the face, my friends in the face, neighbors, people I don't even know, and be able to say, I did the absolute best for you today I could possibly do. That's really what it's all about.
Yeah, you know, Robert, so many times we're hearing today about law enforcement, kicking in doors. We hear about maybe DEA agents kicking in the wrong door and shooting people in their homes and only to find out they're in the wrong address. We hear about police brutality. We hear about the bad side of law enforcement. And I think it's real easy to forget that there are a lot of good folks out there who are trying their best to do right by the people. And go ahead.
I was going to say you're absolutely right. And I'll tell you, the media today is more than happy to go out of their way to tell the bad stories, but very, very rarely do they take the time to share with the public the good stories. You know, being in any profession, whether it's a law enforcement officer or a radio announcer, life is a bell curve. There are some that are extraordinarily good. There's some that are extraordinarily bad. And there's a larger group of people that are somewhere in between there. And cops are people just like any other people. You know, it's kind of amazing. When I was growing up as a kid, I thought about my teacher. One day I saw her in a grocery store and thought, well, what is she doing here? She's a teacher. You know, I really didn't understand that they were just like everybody else. Well, so are law enforcement officers. And their families are just like anybody else's family. And I think if there are any heroes to this story, the real heroes of this story are the family members, the spouses and the children, who take on tremendous amounts of difficulty in order to support their mother or father in their law enforcement career. My wife and two kids had never dreamed that the day would come, and it haunts me when I think of the day when I had to come to them and say, okay, two agencies and an intelligence agency, two law enforcement and one intelligence agency says, there's a contract on my life. We're in danger, and we need to leave. We signed over powers of attorney. My house was in storage within 48 hours. We ultimately flew out of the country. We came back, had another identity, lived pretty much underground for quite a number of years. The kids didn't have the opportunity to have the normal type of life that 11 and 13-year-old kids at that stage should have. It was a very, very huge challenge. It's not just a challenge for them. It's a challenge for many. And, you know, the other story that needs to be told is, you know, this was a very scientifically led operation. There was a very clear and succinct written undercover operation that was submitted and approved by the Attorney General. There were, at the height, 250 or more law enforcement officers who were involved in this operation. So by no means am I an individual hero in this. I'm the guy who got to play quarterback on the team. But without an excellent offense and an excellent defense, which I had, granted, you know, every team runs into a time when things don't click. The quarterback gets sacked every once in a while. And unfortunately, in this case, when we make mistakes, it could be people's lives.
Yeah, people really are sacked.
They really are.
As in body bags.
Right, right. And another thing that I wanted to make, I made some notes when you were asking me questions before. One of the things I think that your listeners need to know is that under this technique of long-term undercover, when you get what's called an attorney general's exemption from the attorney general, him or herself, to commit a certain type of crime, and only that crime, which in this case was money laundering, you're allowed to use the profits from the undercover operation to defray the cost of the operation and the prosecution. So in this particular case, not one tax dollar ultimately was used to run the operation. We wound up financing the cost of all of the transcriptions, the trial preparation, all of it was covered, and much more, as a result of not just the proceeds from the undercover operation, but then the seizures and forfeitures that totaled about $600 million that came as a result of the operation. These are operations that need to be used as a last resort because there is unique risk that relates to it. We talked about family, and an important point for me. I became, and this was my, this was probably my biggest, sin in the process here, and my biggest sin as I look at it back is that I became an information junkie. I knew that I was within a unique position within the underworld where I could get information in a meeting that would otherwise take offices with dozens and dozens of agents months and months to get the answers to. I became so engrossed in being able to get that type of information and bring it back and have it become something usefully done for the benefit of the public, that it became the most important thing in my life. There really became a point where there really came a point in my life when if it cost me my job, my marriage, if it cost me my life, I was prepared. Of course, I'd fight to the death. But I was prepared to take the risks that could put any of that away from me for the rest of my life. I was willing to do that because I felt like there was no agent that was ever going to get to this position again, and I had to exploit this every possible waking moment. And that's something that needs to be managed because there are psychologists who are involved in vetting people who do this work, and there are psychologists who are involved in quarterly reviews and other administrative oversights, and you have to really look very closely to make sure that your agent stays fully grounded and recognize who he really is working for. I never lost sight of that, but I certainly became so ravaged to get new information that I, in hindsight, I probably took some chances that I shouldn't have taken.
You know, Robert, I got to ask you, and we're almost up to the break already again, but how widespread is this problem of banks laundering money? You know, you dealt with BCCI and ultimately was involved in taking them down. But, you know, I just read, wasn't not too long ago, that HSBC was involved in some kind of, I guess, money laundering corruption. How widespread is this, do you think? Are there a lot of big banks that are still doing this today?
The quick answer is yes. And, you know, I think one of the people who, and I heard at the end of your last segment about Senator Elizabeth Warren, mm-hmm. and I'd just like to say that not only is she a very bright lady on the topics that you were talking about, I am just unbelievably impressed with her about the courage she has to go forward and force light to be shown on this problem. And I'd like to talk when we come back about exactly what she's done.
Okay, very good. All right, let's take the break. We're visiting with Robert Maser, The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind the Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. We'll be back in a moment. The final segment, straight ahead.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. HeartandBody.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to teravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Teravim, the best supplements on earth.
Alright, we're in the home stretch of the program, visiting with Robert Maser, finishing up here. By the way, his website, once again, www.the-infiltrator.com. The book is The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. And, Robert, before the break, you were, we gotta do this again here real soon because, I feel like we're just getting started and the hour's already up. But you wanted to say something about Elizabeth Warren.
Yes. If your listeners Google Elizabeth Warren HSBC hearings, you'll find exactly what she's done, not just on behalf of the citizens of Massachusetts, but for us throughout the nation. What she did is, and the committee that she's on, is that she forced the leaders of various law enforcement agencies and regulatory agencies responsible for the prosecution of banks and bankers that might otherwise be involved in the laundering of drug proceeds or in other types of criminal-related transactions. And what she basically got them to admit is that the banks are, in their view, too big to be prosecuted, too big to fail, and too big to jail. What she got Eric Holder to admit, I'd like to read to you, because this is what Eric Holder said. I'm concerned that the size of some of these institutions becomes so large that it does become difficult for us to prosecute them when we're hit with indications that if you do prosecute, if you do bring criminal charge, it will have a negative impact on the national economy, perhaps even the world economy. It's not Eric Holder's, in my view, right to decide whether or not to prosecute somebody based upon the economic impact on the United States.
Well, the problem is it's going to have an economic impact derogatorily anyway.
Well, you know, I do believe in the free enterprise system, and I think that if a major bank goes out, there's a lot of other major banks that are around that are going to want to pick up the slack. And the government is quite able to help them to make that transition. But not just the banks. Let's talk about the bankers. As she was saying, she said to each one of them, tell me the last time you've taken the biggest banks on Wall Street all the way to trial. They couldn't give them a name because it's not happened. It doesn't happen. And then when asked, why aren't the individual bankers being prosecuted, in my view, the chief of the criminal division, who is the person working with Eric Holder on this strategy, Lanny Brewer, told and gave answers that are not accurate answers. If they're not accurate, I know they're not accurate. Are they not accurate because he just doesn't know the law? He's a lawyer. He should. Or is there some other reason? But what Lanny Brewer tried to suggest is that it would be impossible to be able to prosecute an individual for these offenses because you'd have to prove that they did this purposely to violate the Bank Secrecy Act. That's not true. It's a money laundering offense. All you need to prove is the person knew that the money came from a criminal source and that they did something to further their transaction. It's that simple. But when you look closely at Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer, they were both partners together in a law firm by the name of Covington & Burling. That law firm is based in Washington. It represents the who's who of banking throughout the world. And that, to me, creates an apparent appearance of a conflict of interest when people who decided. And what's really troubling is after all the heat on HSBC came down, what does Lanny Brewer do? He's the one who tells the world, okay, we're going to get a fine, $1.92 billion. Well, in reaction to that, I say big deal. That's one-tenth of the profits for HSBC for just the year 2012, one-tenth of their pre-tax profits. That's nothing. That's a fine, and that's all that is. And when he took the heat, he went back. Now he's resigned. He went back to Covington and Burling, and according to the New York Times, makes $4 million a year.
Wow. So there you go. I mean, we have really criminals running the criminal justice system. That's the bottom line. And we can't hope to have people prosecuted for doing illegal things when the whole system is rot with corruption.
We need people who are career prosecutors to be career prosecutors, not people who come to fill their resumes and then leave.
Yeah, thank you. Robert, thank you so much for being with us. We got to do it again. Folks, the website is the-infiltrator.com. God bless you, folks. Pray for this republic. Do what you can to restore it. We'll talk to you next week.